Good morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today's message is going to come from the book of Philippians, chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 7 through 12. Now, the thought for today's message is, how much do you really want to know the Lord? And you might say, well, Joel, I'm saved. I know the Lord. Well, when we become born again, we are babes in Christ, and we're expected to grow and mature in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So just because we're saved, yes, we know Him as our personal Savior, but we have not grown to know Him more and more in the depths of the price that He paid for us on the cross of Calvary, the sacrifice He made for us, Him coming, living a sinless life, was misunderstood, treated, and tried as a criminal. We need to learn to grow and mature in that knowledge. So as we begin looking at Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, this is Paul writing to the church at Philippi, saying, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Now, if we stop and think about it, what is really Paul talking about? Those things that were gained to him. Well, Paul was on, before he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, Paul described himself that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. You know, as a Pharisee, as knowing the law, he knew the law as a Pharisee. And he was circumcised on the eighth day. Paul was on his way to the top. Paul had authority. He had stature. He had all these things that a worldly type man would want. But then he meets the Lord on the road to Damascus, and his soul is gloriously saved. He meets the one that came and lived a sinless life. He lived a sinless life. He went to the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for you and I so that we may be saved. And that's who Paul met on the road to Damascus. So Paul's saying, all these things that were gained to me, all these things that would have set me up, I would have had authority. I would have had power over all these people. I would have had fame. I would have had stature. I would have had money. I would have had all these things. He's saying, I'm counting them loss. I've counted them loss. I've made a decision, and I've counted all those things lost so that I may have Christ. And then he goes on. In verse 8, he says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." Now, verse 8 here is a mouthful. I want you to think about what Paul's really saying here. He says, "Yea, doubtless." In other words, we don't have to think about this anymore. We don't have to discuss it anymore. He goes, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." So what Paul is literally saying here is there is nothing more excellent, than the knowledge and knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior and He is your Lord. There is nothing more excellent than Him in this world. Everything else takes a distant backseat. The most excellent thing in my life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, have we regarded our personal Savior, our Lord, the Jesus Christ that Paul's talking about here, have we regarded Him as the most excellent, far and away the most excellent thing in our life? Or have we had things that we considered to be equal to the Lord, or even things that we've held in higher regard to the Lord? And friends, when we do that, we're committing the sin of idolatry, because we need to come to the realization and accept the fact and realize that if we are truly born again, there is nothing more excellent in our life than the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood applied to our hearts, our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is nothing more excellent than that. Everything else, all the cares, the worries, concerns of this world, the money we might make, the stature, the authority we might gain, everything else has to take a distant backseat to the excellency of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's literally what Paul's saying. He's saying, there's nothing more excellent than my Lord. And notice how he describes it. He says, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Notice how he doesn't stop it there. He doesn't say all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He could have put a period right there, but he ends it with my Lord. Do we live as if our Savior is our Lord? Sometimes we treat Him like a bellhop, that we only go to Him when we need Him, when circumstances in our life becomes overwhelming or we've had something catastrophic happen. But see, friends, He needs to be our Lord each and every day, 24 hours, 7 days a week. And we need to regard Him as our Lord and make Him the most excellent thing in our life. But then he goes on, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, do we serve the Lord as if there is a prize to win? Do we serve Him rigorously each and every day, faithfully each and every day, as if there is a prize for us to win? Now, friends, I'm certain that if somebody was to come up to us and say, now, if you can participate in this contest, you could win $1 million. A lot of us would put every ounce of energy we've had into that contest to try to win $1 million. But what Paul's saying here is my prize. What I am searching for is so that I may stand face to face and see my Savior face to face, that light, that bright light that was shone round about me on the road to Damascus, I'm going to stand before Him one day and see Him face to face. My faith will become reality, and that is the prize that I want to win. So I want to live as if I'm going to win that prize. So friends, we need to take Paul's instructions here and understand how to live so that we may win Christ. And he goes on in verse 9, it says, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. In other words, Paul's saying, I don't want him to find any self-righteousness in me. He says, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And now we get to verse 10. Paul says all this preceding stuff to say this, that I may know Him. Friends, how much do we really want to know Him? Yeah, and you know, as I let out the message, I asked that question, and your answer to that question, you might say, well, yes, Joel, I know Him because I'm saved. Well, do we study our Bible each and every day to really know him, to know him more today than we did yesterday, to know him more tomorrow than we did today? Do we pray like we really want to know him, to know him more tomorrow than we did today? That's how, friends, we get to know him. We spend time in the Word. This is his Word is the tool that God the Father has given us to get to know our Savior and get to know his sufferings, understand the price that he paid for us. And friends, do we really want to know him? We need to take a step back and take an inventory of how we spend our time. And if we don't see us spending time in his Word and spending time in prayer, friends, I dare say that we really don't want to know it. We just want to stay at arm's length. We want to go in, sit down on the pew and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But when we're at home and on our own personal time, we really don't want to know him. Friends, if we really want to know him, we will spend time in his Word. We will spend time in prayer, and we will treat him as the most excellent, excellent thing in our life, and everything takes a distant back seat. And Paul goes on in verse 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." Paul wanted to know. He wanted to understand. He wanted to get there and realize and get a glimpse of this power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul wanted to understand the price that he paid for his sin. Friends, we need to dig in God's Word and understand and start to spiritually be taught the price that he paid for my sin, the price that he paid for your sin, so that we may learn to love him more and appreciate him more and serve him more each and every day. And then he goes on in verse 10, "being made conformable unto his death." Now that's going to scare a lot of people off there. But what Paul's saying is being fully obedient. Fully obedient to him. Wherever he says go, I go. Whatever he says suffer through, I suffer through. Whatever price he says to pay for his name's sake, I pay that price. Paul really wanted to know him, to get to know him, to understand his sufferings, understand the price that he paid for my sin, your sin, his sin. And friends, we should have the same desire in our life. And he goes on in verse 11, he says, "if by any means that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." In verse 12, "not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." So what Paul's saying here is, I want to get to an understanding of why would this Lord come and meet me on the road to Damascus, because I was a sinful, sinful, self-righteous man that had papers in my hand. I was breathing death threats to people. How can someone be so graceful and so merciful to save someone like me? So what Paul's literally saying, I am following after him. I am following after him so hard. And so my desire is to follow after him so that I may get a glimpse of understanding why he was so graceful and so merciful to me. And friends, you and I need to have that same desire in our heart to learn and understand why he showed us that grace, why he showed us that mercy, because we were sinners, we deserved the devil's hell, but yet he gave us mercy and grace. And all we had to do was cry out to him and put our faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as my time is running out, my question is, How much do we really want to know him? How much do we really want to know him? And that's today's message. I hope something has been said that be a help to you. Until next week, this is Joel Martin.